Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing on in the Psalms, in the 17th Psalm, and we've covered the first, 10 verses of it. And David's crying out to the Lord. This is a prayer of David, as it's called. And he's saying, hey, God, listen to my just cause. God, listen to my cry. God, give heed to my prayer. I'm not saying this from deceitful lips, but you know what is going on. And so apparently he was being falsely accused, or he was being falsely assailed and attacked. And because as you go through the psalm, as we have at this point, you find out that there's some wicked people involved in doing some things. So I'm going to pick it up in verse 11, where we left off in the previous episode. 11 says this, "They have now surrounded us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the ground." So he's talking about those who have been have closed their unfeeling hearts. Remember that? The ones who speak proudly, the ones that have been coming against him. And he says, now they're doing this. They're surrounding us. And he's using the plural here. So is he using the Queen's English? I doubt it. But is there a group of people that are being affected by this? Well, the king and his people, right? And he said, these wicked are surrounding us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the ground. And he's actually using language that is very descriptive of how an animal would hunt, how an animal would respond to something. The next verse actually brings this out a little bit. Verse 12 says this, "He is like a lion that is eager to tear, and is a young lion lurking in hiding places." So he's actually saying this. He's actually giving us insight into what is happening here, that he's being stalked. Okay, there's wild, wicked folks on the prowl, for lack of a better term. And they're like a lion, eager to tear. They're like a young lion just lurking in hiding places, just waiting. So what does David do? What does the psalmist do? Verse 13. "Arise, O Lord." We have seen that several times already, where the psalmist is asking for the Lord to arise, asking for the Lord to do something, saying, "Lord, please do something here. Arise." And then he gets pretty specific right here. "Arise, O Lord, confront him. Bring him low. Deliver my soul from the wicked with your sword." So let me pause for a moment. We're in the middle of a sentence right here. But verse 13, he's saying, God, do this. God, arise up and confront him. Confront these ones that are coming against us. God, bring them low. Lord, I'm asking that you will deliver my soul from the wicked with your sword. Have you ever thought about responding in that way? Of asking the Lord to deliver by his sword, to deliver you from the wicked. You know, there's such an increase in wickedness and the things that we're seeing day in, day out nowadays, that this is probably the best thing that we could do. There's no doubt that it is, okay? Because if we try to do things of our own strength and our own volition, we know where that's going to get us, right? But he's saying, Lord, you deliver us. Lord, just today, at the time of our gathering together in this recording right here, I was checking out the morning news stories, okay? And there are four or five absolutely profound things that occurred overnight. I mean, absolutely profound. They're going to have impact within the political realm, impact within all the stuff that's happening all over the world. And you look at it, you say, well, God, what can we do with this? What can we do? Well, here it is. Lord, deliver us from the wicked with your sword. It's only going to be by the hand of the Lord, okay? And David knew that, so he's asking him to do that. But he continues on. Deliver my soul from the wicked with your soul, with your sword, from men with your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life, whose belly you fill with your treasure. They are satisfied with children, and leave their abundance to their babes. This is a really interesting sentence right here, because he's asking God to confront, to deliver him, but he's saying, Lord, deliver me from the wicked and from these men with your hand, with your sword, and with your hand. And then it gets very detailed about who these men are. He says, they're the men of the world. Okay? The men of the world whose portion is in life, in this life. In other words, they're receiving the reward that they're going to get for all eternity. Their portion is right now. Because when it's said and done, if they do not repent, if they do not confess, if they do not believe the Most High God, then they're going to spend the eternity separated from him. And he's saying their portion is in this life. But he says their belly is filled with the treasure of God. Okay, the treasure. And that treasure literally means like the hidden things of God. It's treasure. So he gives an example. You fill their bellies with your treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave their abundance to their babes. So their belly is full, yes, with food. Yes, they're provided. They have abundance. Abundance of what? Abundance of resources, abundance of blessings, abundance of stuff, abundance of food, abundance of things to where they can leave it to their offspring when they die. But a primary thing in me right here is they are satisfied with children. The Lord gives them children. He gives them a legacy of children. And yet they remain what? Wicked. And yet they still refuse to turn to the Lord. So he's saying, God, you confront them. These are the people I'm dealing with. These are the people that are coming against us. And more than likely, you're thinking, my, this sounds a whole lot like what we live in today, to which I think you would be absolutely accurate and correct. It is where we live today, is it not? But know this, last verse, verse 15. As for me, that's David speaking. He says, but you know what? As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Ooh, that's interesting. So is he talking about when he awakes in the morning that he's going to be satisfied with the Lord and with his likeness and beholding his face in righteousness? Well, sure. Is he speaking of that when he dies and transitions from this existence to the next and he looks and he sees the likeness of the Lord? Oh yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But he's made a decision, guys. He's made a decision ahead of time. He's declared, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. He's mentioned this several times, did at the beginning of this song, that he's going to keep, he said, remember how he said, I purpose with my mouth that there'll be no transgression. I've determined I'm going to keep my eyes upon you. I'm going to watch you, Lord. Behold, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. That really begs the question to us. What satisfies us? What brings satisfaction? Are we pursuing the things of the world, treasures, the wealth, the abundance? Or are we pursuing the things of the Most High God? Are we pursuing his face, which is a picture of his presence? I really encourage us to pursue the presence of the Most High God. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.